You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order. And we return here another Mock Draft Monday here on Locked On Ravens, the second to last Mock Draft Monday of 2021, as the NFL Draft here in 2021 is less than 2 weeks away. It's been something we've been building up to for a while here, talking about mock drafts, talking about potential prospects, trade-up scenarios, trade-down scenarios, so much more on top of all of that. But now we're finally getting really, really close to what this event will be, which is the event that will get the Ravens their next batch of young players. And hopefully it looks more like the 2018 class or the 2020 class for Baltimore than the 2019 class that the Ravens had. But you know, there's still a lot of time on a lot of these young guys, and I think something that people do have to remember, and sometimes I think a lot of people are guilty of this, is the fact that these guys, for the most part, are not going to come in and, you know, be these stud players, Pro Bowl, All-Pro, best at their position. People need to grow, and sometimes draft classes, you can't really put a grade on them, you can't really see how good they are until a few years down the line. So with that 2019 class, some guys just have not developed yet, but maybe they will in time. Here in this 2021 class, though, plenty of talent all across the board. The Ravens have plenty of talent all across the board. The Ravens have a few positions that they're going to be looking at, and I'm sure that they will prioritize some over others, and maybe they'll throw a couple curveballs in there for everyone as well, some things that a lot of people don't expect, because I feel like that's just the Raven way in some instances. But here we are, again, less than 2 weeks away, and here in this first segment, we're not going to talk about the draft, we're just going to talk a bit about the news that happened over the weekend for the Ravens, a couple of very small things happening, so I want to just catch up and discuss that. Then in the second segment, we'll take a look at another mock draft that I put on Twitter for Mock Draft Sunday. And then finally, in the third segment, we'll take a look at a couple of mock drafts that we receive from Twitter. And if your mock draft isn't right out here today, be sure to look for it on our shows throughout the rest of the week. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast, we're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. You can even leave a rating and review if you want to. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to dive right in, starting off with the couple of news tidbits that happened over the weekend for the Baltimore Ravens. I think the bigger one of these, of the two that I'm going to talk about here, the Ravens having a couple of players sign their exclusive rights free agent tenders in center Tristan Colon-Castillo and linebacker Christian Welch. And these two players, they might seem minor on the outside and on the surface and everything. And if you don't know a lot about them, it's like, all right, this you don't have to talk about this. It's not really news. But it is because, you know, really when the Ravens offered these guys the exclusive rights tenders, there really wasn't another opportunity for them to go out and find something better than the deal that they were offered. Pretty much what an exclusive rights free agent tender is, it's a one-year minimum contract at the amount of seasons that a player has accrued. And for a one-year player, that salary, the one-year minimum deal salary, is $780,000. So with Colon-Castillo and Welch signing those exclusive rights free agent tenders, they will be under contract for one more year with the Ravens, making that $780,000. But that doesn't mean that their roster spots are guaranteed, right? They have to go out and fight for their roster spots, and the positions they'll be battling at, a lot of depth or a lot of potential depth are going to be at those two positions. We'll start with Colon-Castillo. Colon-Castillo, a really big piece in the Ravens' eyes, I believe. They protected him and called him up and everything, and actually called him up to the active roster on October 12th because there were rumors and there were rumblings starting to happen that other teams were going to poach him off of Baltimore's practice squad and put them on their own active rosters. And Baltimore loved Tristan Colon-Castillo, thought really highly of him, and they still do, but at the time they really liked him, so they actually called him up. And It was a bit of, it wasn't an inconvenience because at the time, Otaru Alaka had injured himself and I think he replaced Alaka pretty much. It was a one-for-one swap, but it gave the Ravens three centers on their roster in Matt Skura, Patrick McCurry, and Colon Castillo. So Colon Castillo was pretty much inactive every single week. He made a couple of starts for the Ravens. After the whole coronavirus situation happened and both Skura and McCurry did not play in a couple games, but it still seemed like for Colon Castillo, I mean, his first start was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a very vaunted defensive line, played pretty well in that game. I think the Ravens liked what they saw out of him, and they gave him that tender, and I think he's going to make the roster. I think they're not going to let him go. I really think they think that highly of him, but regardless, Colon Castillo played pretty well in his limited action, and for Kristen Welch, primarily a special teams player for the Ravens, didn't really see a ton of time on defense. But he did play well during his special teams action. Now, he was the guy who positionally replaced Otaru Alaka. He was called up from the practice squad a few times to fill that role. And what Otaru Alaka did for the team, actually, Alaka had a really good year, really good start to the year. He was flying. He was on every single tackle on special teams, it seemed like. He was playing really, really well for this team. But unfortunately, he goes down with an injury, out for the season. A knee injury derails the rest of his year there. Welch comes up and I think played pretty well. Now, I think for Welch, it's going to be a battle between him and Alaka for the final linebacker spot. He's also going to be competing with a couple of other guys as well. But right now, it seems like the locks on the inside linebacker position right now, Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, LJ Fort, Chris Board, those four guys, I think are going to be the four that, you know, they're going to make the roster for sure, 100%. But if they do decide to keep that fifth special teamer like they did in 2020, it's going to come down to, I believe, Alaka and to Welch. So those two are going to be competing for one spot. And right now, honestly, if Alaka played the way that he did in 2020, if he shows that in training camp, I'm probably giving it to Otaru Alaka because he really, I mean, he really, really impressed me during the 2020 season. And for Colon Castillo, yeah, it's different now because Matt Skura is now in Miami, and the Ravens could take a center in the 2021 draft. They also could not, but I think for him, it's going to be interesting to see because if the Ravens like Patrick McCurry as, let's say, a swing tackle option or a guy who can play all five positions, they might say, hey, Christian Colon Castillo, you're going to start here, or they could move Bradley Bozeman to center, and then he would be the primary backup. There are a lot of different things that could happen with Christian Colon Castillo, but two young, promising players signing their exclusive rights free agent tenders for the Ravens. And then in the second piece of news for this Ravens team, the Ravens players announced through the NFLPA that they will not be attending the in-person voluntary workouts during the offseason. And look, this is a good decision by the players. The players obviously thought that doing things in person, just not worth it right now with the coronavirus pandemic still being in effect. And they want to protect themselves, protect their families, take every precaution necessary to make sure that themselves, their families, and everybody involved is 100% healthy. And these are voluntary workouts. The word voluntary being very key there because that means not mandatory, not required. So these players are saying, hey, you know, we're going to exercise our right here to not go to these workouts. And when things become mandatory, then all right, we'll come in. And that's obviously something that's required of us. But here during these voluntary workouts, sure, if you're in person, you can get ahead of the curve or whatnot. But at the same time, the players just don't want to risk it here. And Damari Smith, the head of the NFLPA, in an interview with SportsCenter, said that this is really the first time that some players are actually saying no to their coaches and exercising their right to say no, because they do. Every player in the NFL, every player in sports has a right to say no, especially when it comes to voluntary things where Smith said that coaches sometimes seem like these are mandatory and you have to come in, and it's kind of like, well, you don't have to come in, but we really want you to come. So it's just kind of that stuff that they're saying. And Smith made a point to say, coaches sometimes make it seem not voluntary, but in reality, it's voluntary. So the Ravens, like a bunch of other players here and a bunch of other teams, making their voices heard and saying that they are not going to be attending the in-person voluntary workouts for the 2021 offseason. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be diving into a mock draft that I did for Mock Draft Sunday. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, ring sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it's fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring that she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards TV shows and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline is who covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are back with our second segment of this Mock Draft Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to get into the mock draft that I did for Mock Draft Sunday. Starting off with pick 27, where I selected Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota. And I cannot put into words how ecstatic I was that Rashad Bateman had fallen to me all the way at 27. On the Draft Network's Mock Draft Simulator, it had never happened for me. And finally it happens on the second to last Mock Draft Sunday. Rashad Bateman is my number one wide receiver for the Ravens in terms of both skill set and where he will be available. The Ravens will probably have to trade up for him if they want any shot of taking him, but to have him fall to 27 here, if the mock draft simulator gives it to you, you take it. And Bateman is someone who would make an immediate impact in this Ravens offense in his 3 years at Minnesota, put up 2,395 yards, 19 touchdowns, averaging 16.3 yards per catch. He stands around 6'6", and weighs 190 pounds, and Bateman is an electric route runner. He is someone who has such a quick first step, amazing get off, and he's someone who can run a lot of routes too. And he can play inside and outside if you want him to. He can do both. And for the Ravens, they're looking for more of that outside target. But that doesn't mean that the guy has to be 6'3", 6'4", right? He can be a little bit on the shorter side, not like, you know, 5'2". But I still think that with Bateman being the size that he is, I think he has the size to be both an outside and an inside threat. And look, he's not going to blow anybody away with speed. He's not this burner or like electrically fast person, but he still has speed to do a lot of nice things in the open field. In the open field, he is a menace. He'll make defenders look silly. So he's going to make an impact. He's going to make an early impact for whatever team selects him. I personally think that Bateman is the guy. He is the answer for the Ravens at wide receiver. It's going to be sad if he goes to another team. It'll be extremely sad for me. Terrace Marshall Jr. is great. There are a bunch of other guys. This is a deep receiver class. I'm not going to deny that. But Bateman just has that feel to him that I feel like if he is drafted into Baltimore's offense right now, this is where the offense is evolving, or at least we'll see if they can evolve. Bateman gets in at the ground level of that while they're building a nice passing offense. I think that'll help him, so it's not like he's coming into this thing that's already established. It's all right, we're running the ball 55 times a game. The Ravens are going to pass the ball more in 2021. I can already sense it. They've brought in the coaches. They're bringing in the personnel to do so. So I think with Bateman, he would be a nice fit into what the Ravens need out of a wide receiver. Pairing him with Sammy Watkins, Marquise Brown, it would be a dream for this Ravens offense to not only have the rushing offense that they have now in that historic rushing offense, but also to have three really solid targets plus the potential of Miles Boykin, Devin Duvernay, and James Prochet. So Bateman, for me, my number one receiver for the Ravens based off of need and where he'll be available. This is a no-brainer pick in my opinion. Next in the second round at pick 58, I selected Brevin Jordan, the tight end out of Miami, in a bit of what was a controversial pick, I feel like, because there were plenty of talented players still available at other positions. There was Gregory Rousseau, Carlos Basham was available, I believe. There were a couple offensive tackles. I think Jalen Mayfield was still on the board. I go with Brevin Jordan, though, who ends up being another weapon for Lamar Jackson if he is drafted to the Ravens. Taking Bateman and Brevin Jordan, that is a dream for me at least, because Brevin Jordan is my top tight end for the Ravens based off of availability and skill set. There's no way the Ravens are getting Kyle Pitts. I mean, unless they trade the farm to move up into the top five, there's no way the Ravens are drafting Kyle Pitts, although Kyle Pitts, you know, the way people are talking about him, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, and he certainly has that in him. I mean, he is probably the best tight end prospect I have ever seen. So he's going to be great, but I think Brevin Jordan is also going to be great. And we talked about him a bit on one of our shows earlier in the month, so I'm not going to go too much in depth into him. But I think with Brevin Jordan, he's just all around dynamic. He's someone who can run, block, and pass catch very, very well. He ended up growing a lot during his years at Miami, and what you saw in 2020 was he expanded a lot on a lot of things in his game. He expanded his route tree. He expanded on his run blocking ability. There was a lot of stuff that Brevin Jordan improved on, and that's what you want to see. You know, the guy doesn't have to be a stud going from his freshman year all the way to the junior, senior year. It's the ability to grow, which is really impressive and important to me. He's someone also very impressive after the catch. He's someone who can work in open space. He has some power to him as well. You can use him in a lot of different ways. I think you can use him in line. You can use him outside. There are a lot of different ways to utilize Brevin Jordan. And I mentioned that receiver blocker ability. The Ravens are missing that Hayden Hurst guy in their offense. You have Mark Andrews, the better receiver and a decent blocker. You have Nick Boyle, the good blocker and a decent receiver. But Brevin Jordan is the guy who's in the middle. He's the hybrid guy. Not saying Andrews and Boyle aren't good tight ends, because they are. But Brevin Jordan gives that element to an offense of having the ability to both pass catch and run block at a high level. Something Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle can do, but I think Brevin Jordan is that balanced guy. So with his size and athleticism, Jordan is 6'3", 245 pounds. And also his strength, I mean, again, a bit of power to him. He has all the potential in the world, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal player at the NFL level. I don't even know if he makes it to Baltimore at 58, but again, what the mock draft simulator gives you, you take. So for me, Brevin Jordan was the pick at pick 58, giving Lamar Jackson yet another weapon alongside Rashad Bateman. Next on the defensive side of the ball, our first defensive pick here in this draft, I selected Andre Sisco, the safety out of Syracuse, at pick 104. Sisco is one of the best safeties in this class. I have him rated third on my board behind both Trevon Merrig and Javon Holland. Sisco, I mean, absolute ball hawk. Ended up having 13 interceptions in 24 games, but did have a pretty serious injury that he suffered in 2020 after just two games. But I mentioned 13 interceptions, huge ball hawk type guy, 136 total tackles in 3 years at Syracuse. Also had two forced fumbles and also 14 pass breakups. So he's someone who is all around the ball all the time. Now, Sisco is a bit of a project player, but is enough of already an impact guy to the point where he can start on the Ravens defense immediately if they want to put him in that role. Sometimes he does blow too many coverages. He's looking for that home run, interception, turnover. He's looking for the ball. He's roaming around looking to pick off passes or force a turnover, which is what the Ravens want, because sometimes, especially a couple of years ago, it's not so much of an issue now, but sometimes the Ravens, during their years, have struggled to force consistent turnovers. Now, I mean, look, the defenses of Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, those guys, no problem creating turnovers. But Sisco is someone who is always hunting for the football. He has decent size and athleticism, coming in at 6 feet, 203 pounds. But also, there are a little bit of issues with Sisco when it comes to being able to fill in with the run. He misses some tackles at times. He also can't play man as well as some people would like. So that's why he's not a first round pick. He has some stuff to work on. But I think at 104, Sisco would be an absolute steal. Plus, you know, the injury for him has kind of knocked him down too. I think he'd be a second round pick if it wasn't for his injury that he suffered in 2020. So he has tools. He has the tools needed to grow into a really good player at the NFL level. And the Ravens can allow him to work through his mistakes because they already have Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark on the roster and don't always need to put, you know, a true free safety on the field. It'd be really nice to have, and I think it is a big need for them. But I think Sisco provides them an opportunity to grow somebody while also getting an impact from him in year one. Next to pick 131, we stay on the defensive side of the ball and select Charles Snowden, the linebacker from Virginia. He's more of an edge type. I know people see linebacker and think inside linebacker. Snowden is more of an outside linebacker slash edge. And coming from Virginia, he was one of the best players on that defense. And he is someone who is very versatile, can play all over the field. And he's 6'6", 232 pounds. Really, really nice size. And I think could be someone who kind of fills in a bunch of roles for the Ravens that I don't think they've had the height of a 6'6 guy in the edge position for a pretty long time. They've had some tall edge guys, but having a guy like Snowden next to, let's say, Calais Campbell on some plays, I mean, those are some long guys on the football field. He has really nice ability with his hands, although he does need to clean up a bit in terms of technical things with his hands. He has nice mobility. He can move really, really well. He is a very smart football player as well, has a very high football IQ, processes things very well. The speed of the game for him seems very slowed down. And, you know, with the NFL game being so much faster than college, I think that will help him, especially as he is still a young player. He fits in a 3-4 defense, and right now the Ravens do run a 3-4 defense. I think he is someone who could fit right in into what they need. And look, this edge class is very deep, but they are a lot of developmental guys. Even the guys at the top of the class, Quiddy Pay, Azeez Ojulari, Jalen Phillips, Carlos Basham, Joseph Asai, all those guys, I know I forgot a few, but everybody seems to have some developmental traits that they're not quite there with yet. Snowden is still the same, you know, again, some stuff he has to be able to work on with his hands, but he's able to get separation from blockers, has a nice array of pass rushing moves, and also can get into coverage a little bit. And that is a big thing that the Ravens will be looking for. Snowden, in his 4 years at Virginia, put up 191 total tackles, 30 and a half tackles for loss, 15 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles. So he does a little bit of everything, even had 2 interceptions at Virginia. So I think Snowden would be a phenomenal fit for this Ravens defense and a really nice value pick at 131. Then at 171, I selected Kerry Vincent Jr., the cornerback out of LSU. And I've talked about Vincent Jr. a lot on this show. I've had the opportunity to draft him before after not drafting him for a while. And I think he fills in, you know, taking a safety like Cisco and then a corner like Vincent Jr. People might be thinking, where do you see the roster space? And, you know, I think if you draft a guy like Vincent Jr., you keep him over a Devontae Harris, you keep him over an Amon Marshall, and that's your sixth cornerback, because they have 5 guys right now who are locked in. It's the sixth cornerback spot that I think is up for grabs. Vincent Jr. can move into a free safety role if needed. He has that ability to him. And look, with the injury history of Tavon Young, you want to rely on him, but at this point, 3 season-ending injuries in 5 years, you just can't do it. So Vincent Jr. gives them the ability to have someone who can learn while Young is healthy, and if, and hopefully not, but if Tavon Young gets injured, he can fill in nicely. So I think Kerry Vincent Jr. would be a phenomenal selection for the Ravens at 171. And then moving into pick 184, I selected Jonathan Cooper, the edge out of Ohio State. Now, Cooper is more of a project, and he profiles more as a defensive end as opposed to an outside linebacker, stand-up edge guy. He stands at 6'2.5", 254 pounds, but he is a spark in terms of pass rush. He has nice power, very good hands, and he pursues very, very well, has a very high motor, which is something the Ravens like a lot. He's not going to wow you with explosiveness, and he's not going to wow you with length as well. He's not the lengthiest guy in the world either, but he does have a lot of nice developmental traits to him. And as I talked about a bit earlier, a lot of these edge rushing guys have some things they need to work on and have some things they need to refine. And Cooper is no exception. In his 5 years at Ohio State, he put up 77 tackles and 10 sacks. Never had more than 6.5 sacks in his college career. But again, it's about the traits, it's about the development. And with the Ravens not having Justin Houston or another veteran edge guy on the roster right now outside of Pernell McPhee and the guys that they already had, so it's Bowser, Ferguson, and McPhee, they need 2 edge guys, and I think now Snowden and Cooper could be those 2 that they decide to draft. Finally, a pick 210, I selected Dan Moore Jr., the offensive tackle out of Texas A&M. And for me, this is a developmental pick. I think that Moore has a lot of interesting traits about him. He's someone who played a lot at Texas A&M. 36 games he started in, and also was able to be a part of a good offense And I think that that is also a good experience. He's someone who's going to be a developmental guy. You know, I talked about the ability of the Ravens to maybe take a guy who isn't necessarily going to take over the starting spot from Orlando Brown, but still has a lot of nice things to work with. And that is more. He has a lot of strength, but he needs to gain a little bit more in his lower half. Uses his hands very well. He's able to latch on to defenders. And he has a ton of awareness as a run blocker. Very smart football player. But he doesn't have the best foot speed, and that was a concern with Tyree Phillips. So at the end of the day, this is someone who's going to be a developmental prospect. The Ravens aren't going to ask him to start week one or maybe even start for the entire 17-game season of 2021. But overall, Moore could be a nice way to round out this draft for the Ravens. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at a couple of mock drafts that we received from Twitter. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Mock Draft Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Allstriker, is still here with you. And we're going to now talk about some mock drafts that we received from Twitter, starting off with Kalen Hutchinson, who says, "This mock draft is nicknamed The Future." So at pick 27, Christian Barmore, the interior defensive lineman, is the pick. At pick 58, Carlos Basham Jr., the edge, is the selection. Deontay Brown, the interior offensive lineman, is the pick at 104. At 131, Osa Odigizua, the interior defensive lineman, is the selection. Caden Stearns, the safety, is the pick at 171. At 184, Quinton Morris, the tight end, is the pick. And Josh Palmer, the wide receiver, is the pick at 210. So yeah, Kalen says this is the future, and the first three picks, that is the future right there. And some nice depth throughout the rest of it, too. I'm not discrediting the rest either, but focusing on those first three picks, Christian Barmore, Carlos Basham Jr., and Deontay Brown, I mean, the three of those guys would make instant impacts on this team, I think. Christian Barmore and Carlos Basham on the defensive side of the ball, huge, huge upgrades. I think that Barmore is a future positional star as an interior defensive lineman. And look, the Ravens right now, sure, they have Calais Campbell, they have Derek Wolfe, they have Brandon Williams. As I've said before, they're all over the age of 30. And the Ravens need to start looking towards the future. Could you imagine interior defensive line room of Christian Barmore and Justin Madubuike? That interior defensive line with those two, I mean, that is pure domination. Barmore is someone who can rush the passer effectively, can stop the run effectively. Carlos Basham is someone who has fallen a bit over the course of the last couple of years on draft boards. He was a consensus first-round pick a while ago. Now, he might not even be picked in the second round. But Basham, I still think, has a lot of high upside tools that can be utilized. In Deontay Brown, a physical mauler who is a monster in terms of size, maybe won't start right away because the team might decide to go with Bradley Bozeman at center and Ben Powers at left guard, but he could compete for a guard spot on this team. Obviously, Kevin Zeitler has the right guard position, but for the left guard spot, Deontay Brown could be a competitor. And then again, that rest of draft depth here that Kalen has, this is a phenomenal mock draft. This would make the Ravens better in a lot of different aspects. Next, we'll take a look at a mock draft from Lewis, who says, "I don't think Bateman will be available when the Ravens pick. However, he was there for me, and he's too good of a player to pass on." So at pick 27, Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, is the selection. Peyton Turner, the edge from Houston, is the pick at pick 58, while Tommy Tremble, the tight end from Notre Dame, is the pick at 104. Kendrick Green, the guard from Illinois, is the pick at 131, and at 171, Damar Hamlin, the safety out of Pittsburgh, is the selection. Dante Smith, the tackle from East Carolina, is the pick at 184, and Jamien Sherwood, the safety from Auburn, is the pick at 210. So yeah, if the mock draft simulator gives it to you, you take it. And Rashad Bateman, like he was available for me, was available for Lewis, and Lewis took him. Phenomenal A-plus pick for me here. Peyton Turner, the edge from Houston, a really nice player. And the last time the Ravens took an edge slash outside linebacker from Houston in the second round was Tyus Bowser. So hopefully it will pan out like that. Tommy Tremble, an interesting tight end prospect. Not my favorite. I'd rather have, obviously, Brevin Jordan, Pat Freiermuth. Even Hunter Long with Tremble is still a nice player. Kendrick Green, a nice depth piece at guard. I don't know if the Ravens are going to take two safeties, though. I think they're going to take one. I think Damar Hamlin is a nice choice, but Jamien Sherwood If they take Hamlin, I don't see them taking Sherwood just because they've brought back Anthony Levine, Geno Stone, Jordan Richards. They already have Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott. I don't think they're going to keep that many safeties on the roster, especially if they add two more. So overall, a nice mock draft here from Lewis. I mean, getting Rashad Bateman automatically makes any draft, in my opinion, an A-plus draft. But the other depth that he has here is really, really nice and doesn't overly reach for any one player or one position, which is really important when it comes to these drafts. Finally here, we'll take a look at a mock draft from Jared Snyder, who has the Ravens taking Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, at pick 27. Then he trades pick 58 for pick 78 and 90. And at pick 78, Rashad Weaver, the edge from Pittsburgh, is the selection. At 90, Jamar Johnson, the safety from Indiana, is the pick. Jermaine Davis, the linebacker from Kentucky, is the pick at 104. At 131, Stone Forsythe, the tackle from Florida, is the pick. Dax Milne, the wide receiver from BYU, is the pick at 171. Shaka Toney, the edge from Penn State, is at 184. And finally, at 210, Drew Dahlman, the center from Stanford, is the pick. So I guess this is like the Rashad Bateman day here on Locked On Ravens, because he's been taken in a lot of these mock drafts, including my own, and I love it automatically. A-plus mock draft here from me. But the depth, again, very nice, very important here. Rashad Weaver, Jamar Johnson, picking them both up from one pick at 58, that trade, 58 for 78 and 90. Great, great value. Then getting a linebacker, a tackle, wide receiver, edge, center, all nice prospects. I think that the Ravens probably wouldn't take another wide receiver at 171 if they took Rashad Bateman at 27. I've said that. And I think it's probably going to stay true. They're probably only going to take one receiver in this draft because I don't see them keeping seven. And if they would draft two, they would have to move off of one of the young guys already on their roster. But yeah, I mean, I like this draft a lot. Shaka Toney is an example of the nice depth at the end of this draft that Jared gets. And I think that overall, it's, again, a need-based draft. A lot of nice need-based picks here, and that's what this is. You know, the Ravens could utilize the best player available. I'm sure they will in more than one instance. But also, you know, you can't take five quarterbacks if they're the best player on the board. You sometimes have to be able to draft for need, and the Ravens do that. So it's a balance of best player available and need-based drafting. And I think here Jared did a nice job of that. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be talking about more Ravens football. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.